My name is Grace Wegener. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm a social media coordinator specialist at the Bunting Group, an advertising agency here in town.
And you also do some volunteer work, correct?
Correct. I've been volunteering with a local organization called the East Nashtivists. They are a grassroots organizing community who are educating voters, activating voters, and just generally being in the community and helping people learn about what's going on in our state.
On that note, what's going on in your state? We've just heard about another mass shooting, and then we have some political unrest as well. So let's start with the shooting, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, it's been a mess here in Nashville the last couple of weeks. There was a mass shooting at Covenant School, which was a private Christian school in the Green Hills area, and there were 6 people killed, including 3 9-year-old children and 3 adults. One of the administrator of the school, a custodian, and another teacher, I believe, another woman. It was really tragic, and as a result, the legislature in our state has sort of become even more divided than it once was. The Democratic legislature is obviously very pro gun reform, and this sort of catapulted the conversation into a new level, including 3 members of the House of Representatives, Gloria Johnson, Justin Pearson, and Justin Jones, who decided to stand up against the Republican inaction in the House and staged a protest during a recess of the House session, instead of making that become a conversation about gun control and gun reform in the wake of this tragedy. It became about expelling those representatives from their seats in the House. And ultimately, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, who are 2 young Black men, were expelled from their seats by the overwhelmingly white Republican legislature and the House members. And it was a really shocking moment. Not a lot of us could believe that it was actually taking place, because they were standing up for what they believed in. They were standing up for their constituents. They were standing up for what they thought was right and exercising their right to free speech. It's in the Tennessee Constitution and it's in the US Constitution that they can do that. So, and then they were penalized for it. So,
mm-hmm. Gloria Johnson has said that she believes, had she not been a white woman, had she also been a Black man, for example, that she might have been expelled to begin with. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think she's spot on that. She was really candid with when she said that. And I bore witness to some of the comments while the 2 Justins were being interrogated about their actions. And they were just being talked down to so condescendingly, and as if they didn't know anything, as if they weren't in a position to be where they were in the House, like even though they'd been duly elected the same way as everybody else. And just the comments that they got were just racist and just so demeaning. Gloria didn't get off much easier. She got some pretty misogynistic comments as well. It was very close, but I think it was ultimately the unspoken truth of why she wasn't expelled.
And now we know that both of them have been reinstated. One of them said, you know, you can't expel hope. On the one hand, there's like this rebirth of hope right now, right? And like, yes, look, we can really advocate and, you know, get some things done. And on the other hand, so we're celebrating that. And on the other hand, we're also, I think, sitting with the fact that this happened to begin with. How do you kind of reconcile the duality of that?
Yeah. So it's great news that they were both reinstated. And we fought really hard. We kind of also knew it was going to happen, because when they were expelled, they were put on a national stage. There's now national, probably global recognition that this was an unjust act to expel them. And I think it's galvanized a lot of people and sort of shown a light on how Tennessee's government works across the country that has sort of ignited this fire of hope and desire to do something and desire to change things here. And I think now that that national spotlight has sort of been shown on them, they are sort of leading this new movement of you know, power to the people. That's basically what Justin Jones said when he got back on the floor. He and Gloria and Justin Pearson are now kind of the face. We call them the Tennessee 3. They're sort of the face of people power. That's been really inspiring to watch, especially with young people. Obviously, young people have been sort of spearheading the gun reform movement because they're the ones in the schools that are being attacked on the regular. And it was really amazing to see so many young people who are maybe not yet of voting age, but they're fired up to vote. They're fired up to get these people who clearly don't care about their constituents or democracy or their lives in general. They're excited to get them out of office. It's really inspiring. There were a few moments of, oh God, do I leave Tennessee? What do I do? And a lot of people are sort of having that same internal conversation due to all kinds of anti-trans legislation, all sorts of anti-LGBTQ stuff that's going on here as well. It's sort of becoming pretty dangerous to be in certain groups in Tennessee.
I appreciate all the things that you brought up in your response, and it kind of mirrors the intersectionality of issues. You talked about gun laws, and we talked about transphobia, which is rampant right now. It feels like there's a heightened tension around that, even here in California. With the recent shooting, the suspect was a trans-identifying person.
Yes, it was reported a little bit strangely. Initially, they were reported as late 20s female, a former student of Covenant School. And then it was uncovered that they used he, him pronouns on a social media profile. And that information was kept on the down low for a little bit. I don't think we found out until later in the day that they identified as using he, him pronouns. So that, I think, unfortunately, has sort of pivoted that conversation from this is a school shooting, one of a million that happened in the US per year, to, oh, this is a trans person who has committed this crime.
How are people navigating the transphobia conversation post the shooting? How do we care for the community and also sort of recognize the humanity of the person who was involved in the incident?
Immediately post-shooting, once that detail was uncovered, everyone I work with on the organizing front immediately went to, okay, we have to go out of our way even more to protect trans people, because although this person committed an atrocity, the fact that they were a trans person shouldn't be part of that conversation. They still shot people. They still killed people. So that should obviously be the main talking point. And also the victims should be the biggest talking point, and how to avoid that in the future. So we're kind of doubling down on protecting trans people, making sure that they're not targeted even more than they already are, and that we sort of keep those two incidents as separate as we can. Like, this isn't something that all trans people are doing, because people here think being trans is like a mental illness. Like, it's not something that is with you that you need to express to be your fullest self. So a lot of people have tied being transgender to mental deviance and things like that. And they're like, oh, they're more likely to shoot people. It's like, that's not true. That's just not true. People deal with trauma in a million different ways, and hopefully it doesn't end in that way. But long story short, we're fired up to make sure that trans people here are kept safe and not exposed to any kind of like additional hate that resulted from the shooting.
And have you seen incidents of additional hate, maybe on social media or in comments or in the overall community?
Unfortunately, yeah. It was just before the shooting, I believe. There have been incidents of people spray painting on walls and really horrible language about trans people, and a lot of white supremacist stuff has been spray painted on people's houses. It's kind of just an overarching just series of hate groups that are committing these acts of vandalism.
There's so much going on in Tennessee, to the least, right?
Yeah.
Where do you hope that you go from here?
Policy and action, not thoughts and prayers. Where I hope we go from here is that we flip the Tennessee supermajority. That's a Republican supermajority. I want to see more young Democrats, maybe young people of color. I want to see them in office, making our communities better, making them safer, making them accessible. I think we're on our way to doing that. I think it's going to take a long, long time. Like one of the Justins said on when they were being expelled from the House, someone mentioned that a lot of the Republican legislators are older white men. They're going to retire one day. They're going to decide to step down or something like that. And I want to see more people galvanized and want to run for office and do what's right for their communities and not just be swayed by money or lobbies and things like that. I think we're on our way to doing that. I'm really inspired to see a lot of young people speaking out and leading rallies and leading fundraisers and doing all kinds of stuff. And I think in the next few years, we'll really start to see some change because people are really fired up. And now that we've kind of been put on this national stage, everything that happened in the House, it has sort of lit a fire under a lot of people across the country to do the same thing in their own communities, like uncover secret legislation that's been passed under the table that is maybe harming people, and and sort of stand up for what's right.
And what can the rest of the country in places like California, what can we do to stand in solidarity and be supportive to you all in Tennessee?
Wow, good question. I mean, just keep watching, keep sharing, keep up with, you know, as best you can, keep up with what's going on and support the candidates and the House representatives who are speaking out. And even if you don't live in Tennessee, you can still call the governor's office. You can still, you know, just as a concerned citizen, I'm not sure if they tally those, but the more voices that are in the conversation, I think obviously the louder we then get beyond the side of human rights.
I love that. And before we started, you said you've been in Tennessee for almost 10 years and you had to question yourself for a minute about like, oh, should I stay? Should I go? I have a feeling you're going to stay and you're going to keep fighting. That's the vibe I'm getting. But what keeps you staying and what keeps you fighting?
I'm here for the long haul. What keeps me here mostly is my community that I've built here over the last almost 10 years. And I've really started to find my footing in like the volunteer space and the organizing space. You know, as much as I would like to sometimes go back up to Chicago where they care about things that people in Tennessee leadership don't care about, this is my second home. This I've been here for almost a decade, and I want to see a place that isn't totally blue. I want to see it change, and I want to be a part of that change. So I'm here. I'm beautiful. Here and gonna keep fighting. We'll see what happens.
I know we're crossing our fingers for the best. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I super appreciate it.
Thank you so much.